Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're here with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Thanks so much for being on the show.
It's a privilege.
Wanted to chit-chat with you a little bit today about the regular fiscal court meeting that you guys had earlier in the week. You have a lot, big agenda.
And, we did.
But not quite as long as some of the meetings that we've been privy to. But getting right into our agenda, you guys started out with some public comment, and it's always nice to start with presents.
It is.
St. Clair came in and had some donations for you guys. Tell me a little bit about that.
They did. When I first took over and I've, wandered the hallways about, I noticed that some of the folks, some of the elders, and not necessarily the elders, some, with a foot in a cast or a walking boot, had some trouble getting down as far down as the tax place to pay their, the sheriff's department, to pay their taxes. So I've watched that over the time, and I reached out to St. Clair and asked them if they would be consider donating a couple chairs for us so that they could be a little more mobile in the courthouse. And they was gracious enough to do that. They ordered us brand new chairs. We didn't get recycled ones.
Oh, that's even nicer.
We got brand new chairs. Regina Thompson brought them down to us yesterday morning, presented them to fiscal court. And, that's just another indication of how well this county and community works together. And we're so thankful to them. And we think all the folks in the courthouse that needs them will certainly appreciate them.
I'm always amazed at how much this, and you and I have talked about this before, this community shows up. I went to the Child Abuse Prevention Awareness event over the weekend back at the conference center, and there were so many people there, but there were so many organizations there that were just giving away candy and pins and games and really wonderful opportunity to go out and have a great Saturday totally free.
Yes.
For the community. And there were a lot of very happy little kids there.
And that's why everybody wants to come to Moorhead and live
mm-hmm.
in Round County. It's because we are a family together.
True, true. Now, back to some of the business aspect, not the fun aspects, but the business aspect. One of the things that you guys discussed is something I've actually talked to the mayor about last week, about a county-city tourism. You guys have discussed, right now the Tourism Commission is city, I guess.
Yes,
the city
it is.
Does the oversight for them. And so tell me a little bit about what's in the works. What's the idea that Tourism Director Joy Brown brought to you guys?
Well, we have been lacking out in the county-wise promoting tourism, and the reason for that tourism, the lacking of promotion of it, is it is a city tourism, and they can only use their funding within the city limits. They can go outside the city limits if it will bring business and tourism into the city.
Right.
So that's a little sticking point. So the mayor and I have talked about this in the past, and we would like to combine, not necessarily combine, it would be create a city-county tourism commission, because the county has no county tourism commission currently. So the two avenues you can go is you could do a county tourism commission standalone, leave the city tourism commission standalone. That doesn't make sense to any of us that's thought this through, so we just like to combine them. And Joy Brown, the executive director of tourism, came in, did a presentation to the fiscal court. And right now, I would think I have asked the court if I could proceed to negotiate with the city, write some ordinances that would combine the two. And we're going to go from there, and we think it'll pass. It's going to benefit all of the city and the county as well. So we see really no reason why it wouldn't. But it'll do a lot of things for us, I think, in the future, and help us bring some tourism out into the county. And not only that, it'll help us in the city as well.
Mm-hmm. There's things that are, there's lots of great things that are happening in downtown Moorhead, but there's an incredible amount of things that are happening throughout the county. There's events all the time that aren't within city limits, and I think tourism can sometimes be limited by what they can do as far as letting people outside the community know about those things.
That's very true, and they do an excellent job. Tourism does a really good job within their authority to promote the things that we do in the county, but it would just be a whole lot better if we had one, we could generate some funds. And these funds we're going to be generating if we go out into the county with tourism. It's not going to be funds coming out of my pocket or your pocket. These are going to be the tourist that comes in and takes advantage of our assets that we have here in the county, and it's simply a room tax on a hotel. So it's not we can't tax the restaurants out in the county, mm-hmm. but it would be a room tax. And, you know, it's like I said, it's from people that's coming from out of state, normally out of state or out of the county, that comes in and takes advantages of our things that we've worked hard and our citizens have provided. So it's just it just makes sense.
Very cool. Well, hopefully we will be able to discuss that more as it comes to fruition. I know that sometimes right now in the planning stage, just getting those details is trying to figure those out. Is not a good time to talk about them yet. But speaking of tourism, that kind of leads straight into recreation. You guys made some appointments to this recreation board, and this idea was kind of born out of the Laughlin project, I guess, a little bit.
There has always been a recreation board. Mm-hmm. It just kind of got stagnant. Some of the appointments had expired, and it just kind of wasn't maintained, if you will. So when the Laughlin Project was born, we realized that we needed someone to help guide through this from the city and from the county. And so really all we did is that it's always been there. We just regenerated it. We populated it with some different folks, and because the other ones had expired, some probably moved out of town. Mm-hmm. And so we're really looking, and we're really excited about Laughlin getting started, and we're really excited about this board because we think we've got some folks on there that will really benefit all of us in recreation.
Mm-hmm. I see several familiar names, but former news director Chuck Mraz is on this list, which is really great. I think I haven't got to talk to him about it because I haven't seen him, but how wonderful, because he covered stories about this in our community for 30 plus years. So he's so familiar with the entire history of recreation within the county.
Chuck has always been a strong advocate for recreation in his county, and I thought it only fitting that a guy that has been that strong over all of these years trying to get recreation to this county and this city would be on that board. And because I know he'll do such a great job. So we're excited about the board. We're excited about the Laughlin Project, and we really want to. We've got to meet with the board, of course, and let them elect their officials. Mm-hmm. The one little spinoff from that is we're going to ask them to create a youth board, and the youth board will actually. We've got different ages on the actual recreation board, but we want to ask them to create a youth board, and the youth board will report to the recreation board with ideals of what they would like to have as youth, you know, certain age groups. Mm-hmm. So it'll be two boards in one. One will have the authority. The other one will listen to the concerns of the younger folks. So we think that'll really be a big help to us.
I think that would be exciting for a member of the youth community. Not only because then they get the idea that, hey, the grown-ups are actually listening to what we want, but also it teaches them at a young age to be involved and plug into their community, and civic engagement is so important.
It is, and you know, the key to success here is get everybody involved in it. And so we really think that bringing the youth in and letting them have a say about what we're doing for recreation for their age groups is very important. So we're really excited about this.
Yeah. Well, when do you think that you guys are going to meet next?
I've got to get with the mayor, and we'll determine a meeting time, and we'll kind of set the stage. We'll actually, one of us will have to probably chair the meeting initially because there is no chairperson, and allow them to elect within their own. So we'll just have to get together and work the logistics out, but it'll be soon.
Great, great. Now, you guys also talked a little bit about the LGEA hearing. What's that about?
That's actually coal severance money that we get, and I like to say that we used to get. We don't really get any. There's zero goose eggs in it this time, mm-hmm. but you never know. So, you know, if you don't hold the hearing, a public hearing, then you're not eligible for any of the funds. So we just hedged our bet, and you never know. There may be some come down. So we had the hearing, and of course, no one was there because there was no money in it. Mm-hmm. But we But we complied with the letter of the law, so if there's some comes, we'll certainly be ready to spend it.
Well, we can cross our fingers on that one, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'm not either.
Unfortunately, sometimes you have to go through the motions in order, just in case, hedge those bets. One of the other things that you guys discussed, the ambulance service fee adjustment. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, we had not had an increase in the ambulance service fee since 2012. Wow. And as we all know, the price of everything has considerably increased since 2012. Even, you know, our supplies that we use in the ambulance, all of the medical equipment, all of that stuff has just really went out of sight. So we felt it was, and actually the ambulance service is backtracking in revenue right now. They're losing some revenue. We're just not generating the amount of revenue that we should be at this point. Mm-hmm. So, and it's no fault to anyone's other than it's just the cost of what it takes to do business. So we increased, we asked the fiscal court for an increase in the ambulance service fees, and they did. And we worked out through the numbers. You know, we try to figure out a 2% increase over the years. And that's kind of how we came up with the numbers. And we actually come a little bit off of that amount of money and what we thought we could do and still operate. And it's not a money-making business. It's a service. Mm-hmm. So all we want to do is just be able to provide a first-rate service as we do now and continue that service.
So the service fee, how is that for people who actually utilize the ambulance services, or is that the county-wide?
No, we are a non-taxing district, thank goodness.
I wasn't sure about that.
So the only folks that will be affected by this fee will be the individuals that actually have to have an ambulance trip. So, it doesn't reach into the pockets of all the taxpayers in the county. It will be. And to be quite honest, mostly, a lot of people has insurance, so it'll be passed on to the insurance company. But we just can't continue to operate at the same cost and the same price we were in 2012. And it's just not working out for the county. It's not fair to the taxpayers to have to dig in their pockets to supplement the ambulance service. Mm-hmm.
A lot of changes have been made to the economy since that time. So I can only imagine the difference in price. You guys also talked about a county parking ordinance.
We did, I have asked in the past to talk about this ordinance. And what we have now is we essentially have an ordinance that says you're not allowed to park on county property or county roads, which really has no teeth in it. So you can't really do anything except you got two options. You can give them a warning or you can tow their car. Well, the towing a car seemed to be a little excessive to me. And given warnings, I think they're up to some of them, it's probably give them 10 to 15 warnings. And, like I said, it had no teeth in it. So what we would like to do is if parking is a concern, we will post a sign and say no parking on the county right-of-way or road or ever how we determine to communicate that. And then we will have the ability to actually assess a fine to that vehicle. Mm-hmm. Now, we will still have the towing capability if they just ignore the tickets, but we'll be able to, the sheriff's department will be able to go out, write a ticket. And honestly, it's just certain areas, it's certain times of year that this happens. It's usually probably around semester change.
Shock.
Yeah. And so, we want to be a good citizens to everyone, but we want to give them an opportunity. But at the same time, there's places that it is so critical they can't get a fire truck through the road. They can't get ambulance services through. And some people really can't back out of the driveway because they got cars sitting on each side of the road. So we need to protect the taxpaying citizens as well, the ones that own the home, and we owe it to them. But we also want to be decent to the folks that's coming here. And, I know they're not intentionally parking there. It's just a matter of there is nowhere else to park. And so they park there.
It seems convenient, and here they go.
It is.
It's convenient, but not necessarily safe. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Area high school students are invited to the MSU Summer Arts Academy June 9th through the 15th. Offered to incoming freshmen through graduating seniors with an interest in music, theater, art, and design, including ceramics and photography. Fees include housing, meals, activities, and instruction. Merit scholarships are available. Apply today for the Summer Arts Academy June 9th through the 15th at Morehead State University. More information at moreheadstate.edu/SAA or call 606-783-2401.
And we're back here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here at the studios of Morehead State Public Radio in Breckenridge Hall on the campus of Morehead State University. Today we're here with County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're talking about the fiscal court meeting for the month that you guys had earlier in the week, and the big thing, the first reading of the county budget for the next fiscal year. This is something that you personally have been working on for a couple months now.
Oh, yes.
Getting everything ready. It's not just filling out a simple form, folks. This takes a lot of time and effort. What did you do to get ready for this?
I had a meeting with the department heads, and I asked them to come in and give me inputs of what their future needs would be, and then I also asked them what their future wants would be. And so I made sure they made that very clear which one was which. And we also solicited letters of input from the other agencies that receive county funds to see where they were and did they need as much as they did or more or whatever. And so I take that, and it's the judge's budget up to the point where I present it to fiscal court yesterday. So it's the judge's budget all the way through that. They accept it from me yesterday. And now it's in their hands, and the second reading is where the magistrates can – and we'll all come together on it. We'll make changes or do whatever we need to do to get through the budget year. Mm-hmm. And but it is a long process. It takes a lot of time to sit down, look at the numbers, and you run the numbers, and then you have to back the numbers up, and you have to change things around. We did input a 2% increase in for employees. I did. Now that doesn't mean that the second reading it'll hold. That the cost of living index, the CPI, had increased 1.9, so we think it's only fair to increase folks to where they can have a living wage. We'll wait and see what happens on the second reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully that'll go through. Any big changes in anybody's budget as far as increases or decreases?
No, not really. It's about a $14.1 million budget. Again, the jail holds the lion's share of that at $4.8 million. But, you know, the numbers are increasing in the jail. We're at about $290 now. So we think that revenue will increase, and maybe it'll help sustain itself some, generates more revenue from its own. So we're hopeful that that'll happen. Mm-hmm. And so we're just moving right along. I think we'll get a second reading on it, of course, next month, and we'll be ready to rock and roll 1 July.
You guys also amended a county ordinance to talk about an occupational tax administrator. What is that? Is that an individual, or is this additional duties somebody else is going to take on?
No, we hired an individual, Mike Mackin, of most people may know. He's been very active in the community and a lot of projects. Optimus jumps out to most folks. He's been very active in the American Legion. But he's got a background in accounting. He's a very sharp individual when it comes to numbers and figuring things out. He's very computer savvy. And what we had in the past, and we still currently have, is we have a contract with the city, and the city does our occupational tax. And it's pretty cumbersome for that individual to try to get out into the county and make visits to some of the businesses to see where we are with occupational tax. So the whole goal in this is to protect our local contractors and to get our local contractors that are not participating in the occupational tax to contribute and be a part of that. And what bothers me is when I was a contractor, you would go into a housing development area to work, and you would look across the street and you would see someone from Lexington or some other place that's out of county that has bid a job cheaper than you because you pay your occupational tax, your license, you're insured, you do everything you're supposed to do, and a guy across the street don't, so he can outbid you a little bit. So it's twofold. One, we want to get our local contractors to participate in it, and we want to catch the folks that are outside of our county coming in and outbidding our contractors based on less taxes.
Right. And maybe eventually that'll mean that local people will have more local projects.
Absolutely.
And speaking of local projects, we've got a couple minutes left here on the show. I know we can't talk about specifics, but we are expecting some big news coming up soon about some different organizations that are going to be opening up shop here in the Round County area. I know that from your point of view, we're talking about the economic impact that having new business coming to town is going to have. So what are some, although I know we can't talk about the specifics of the particular organizations that are coming into town just yet, hopefully soon, but tell me what you're expecting to see as far as how it's going to affect the county having these new businesses here.
Well, I think we are very close to getting some announcements on some of these businesses. There's been a lot of us been very busy over the last few months. Bob Helton in particular has really shouldered the burden of that responsibility and has done an excellent job doing this. But we're really excited because it's going to bring a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunity here, a lot of construction. Some of our local folks are probably going to get some construction jobs out of this. Bright side of it, of course, back to the occupational tax. We will get some occupational tax from the construction of those buildings. They're huge buildings. We think, it will just lead even to more tourism, which I addressed earlier, why we want to be a combined tourism. These facilities will attract tourism just because of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really excited about them coming, and it will make a huge economic impact to this county, not only in housing, taxes, all the other things that comes along with this. We're real excited and we're really close.
I talked to Bob earlier this week and we discussed, maybe next week we're going to be able to talk about that as officially. And I'm really excited to talk about it and to see how things are going to change for the community. I know a lot of people are keeping a very close eye on the possible big things that are coming. But I guess that's really all the time we have here on Open Mic. I really appreciate you, Judge Executive Harry Clark from here in Round County, for taking the time to come in and hang out with us today.
Thank you very much, Leanne, for having us here. And this is a great opportunity for us to let the public know what we're doing.
Yep. And that is the whole goal of public radio. So thank you so much for being here. And for all of our listeners out there, we'll see you next Friday.